Have you ever wondered how a book becomes a movie?
Or how a movie becomes a musical?
Or how anything is adapted at all?
Join us as we talk about your favorite stories and all the changes that were made along the way.
But more importantly, why? This is Willing to Adapt. Hi, welcome back to Willing to Adapt. I am Eric Von Crumley.
And I'm Romy Reyes.
And this is the second part of our episode where we talk about William Shakespeare's
Twelfth Night.
Or
What You Will.
Thank you. If you did not listen to our previous episode, please go back and take a listen to that one. We do a lot of discussion about all the themes and the interest and blah, 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 and things that are interesting. They help you understand this one better, but it's not going to kill you if you don't. But we also did talk about the 96 film adaptation in our last episode, and that one was interesting because we talked about the differences between the play and that one, and one was definitely more comedic, and one was definitely more dramatic.
Yes, definitely go back and listen to it.
But today, what are we talking about today?
Today, we're talking about Twelfth Night.
Yep, sure.
The other adaptation from 2006... She's the Man.
Did you have to think about it?
I did. So there's a story why. When I was looking for the movie to watch,
okay,
I told my wife was looking for it. So I said, yeah, it's there's another one.
She's all that.
And so yes,
Amanda Bynes is not in that one, but no, that one's also very popular.
So she's looking for it and she's like, oh, I think I have it on DVD. So she's looking through her DVDs and then I realized, oh, wait, wrong movie. She's the Man.
Very different. Yes. She's All That is very loosely inspired by Pygmalion.
Yes. Yeah, I remember that afterwards.
Yes.
So we did find the movie and we were able to watch it.
Yes. She's the Man is probably a movie that you never thought you would watch.
And I was so not looking forward to watching it.
Okay, and what do you think now?
I liked it.
Isn't it funny?
It was. My wife liked it too because she watched it back in the day.
Yeah.
And so... as soon as she heard me chuckling, starting to chuckle and laugh, mm-hmm. she just turned to me. She's like, you're starting to like it. Like, now the public knows.
Yeah, but it's, you know what? Okay, let me just say this. It's a 2006 American romantic comedy teen sports film. It was directed by Andy Fickman and it stars Amanda Bynes, a very young and up-and-coming Channing Tatum, and several others. It's very loosely inspired by William Shakespeare's play Twelfth Night. The film follows teenager Viola Hastings, who disguises herself as her twin brother to attend his new boarding school, Elyria Prep, and join the boys' soccer team when her girls' soccer team is canceled at her school.
Yes.
Yes. I want to read you the tagline to the poster.
Go ahead.
It says, "Everybody has a secret. Duke wants Olivia, who likes Sebastian, who is really Viola, whose brother is dating Monique, so she hates Olivia, who's with Duke, to make Sebastian jealous, who is really Viola, who's crushing on Duke, who thinks she's a guy."
That does sum up the movie.
And so this is the first time you watched it?
Yes.
Okay. This was a movie that came out when I was in eighth grade. And it was probably the right time period for me.
Hmm.
And so because it came out when I was in eighth grade, it meant it carried over into high school.
Okay.
Because this was also, you know, like pre like major social media, like MySpace was still a thing and Facebook was kind of up and coming and like YouTube was kind of starting. And so it was, you know, you were still getting, you know, you would go watch DVDs or sometimes you had VHS tapes still if you were old school.
Yeah.
And Blockbuster was still kind of around, and, you know. So this was the before times.
Yes.
But I remember really liking this movie, in part because my cousin. Like, I grew up with my cousin, and I think I've told the story before. I grew up in my grandparents' house. There was a very full house. My cousins lived there, so on. My cousin really liked this movie, and I watched it because of her. And because of that, I actually think I've only seen the movie in its entirety maybe once before this last time I watched it.
Oh, interesting.
I've seen almost the whole thing, but I think the part I almost never saw in its entirety was the beginning.
Oh, okay.
And I think a lot of times when I would, because I would come in while someone was watching it.
Okay.
It was one of those. Hmm. And so I always enjoyed it. I always thought it was really funny, but it was never really one that I went and sought out for myself. I just, whenever it was on, I watched it.
Yeah.
And so I was laughing and I really enjoyed it and I liked it and it was funny. And I think it was one of those movies that like even guys enjoyed it because it was funny,
mm-hmm.
but it was definitely a little bit more of a girl film, but mm-hmm. it was definitely one that both liked.
Okay.
And I was pleasantly surprised this time how much I enjoyed it.
Mm.
It was a movie that I remembered as a movie I watched when I was younger.
Okay.
And so I thought it was a movie I was not going to enjoy as much mm. now mm. at my age of 32. And so I asked my sister, who's 10 years younger than me, I said, hey, I need to watch this for the podcast. Do you want to watch it with me? Because I figured she would like it.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, sure. And so we went to go watch it. And I was laughing so hard. At least half of the movie, I was laughing. And I mean, she enjoyed it too. But I think I surprised myself that I was laughing more than she was.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think I was watching with new eyes.
Okay. You know? That makes sense.
Yeah. So you enjoyed it.
I did, surprisingly.
Mm-hmm. I was actually surprised how much it is similar to Twelfth Night.
Yeah.
It is different.
It is.
It's definitely different. But I was impressed with the respect they have for the source material.
Yes.
Yeah. I will say. Like, they definitely take a lot of liberties, and it's definitely inspired by,
mm-hmm.
in that it takes the basic plot
yeah.
of Twelfth Night, and it just makes it its own.
I just like the sprinkling of all the different
names
and loose lines.
Yes. Some of the lines were inspired by the original script, mm-hmm. and they definitely included the whole greatness is thrust upon them. Like, that's directly lifted from the original
oh, yeah.
play.
Mm-hmm.
But it worked really well for the story, obviously. Yes. So I was a little impressed. And then this time, because of my age I am now, I picked up on all of the English names. The movie played a lot of homages to English locales and names.
Oh, I didn't.
Yeah. And so, like, the dorm room that she's in when she's pretending to be her brother
yeah.
is Windsor Hall.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And then they, like, some of the places they go to, I think they go to, one of them is Stratford.
Yeah, I remember hearing
yes.
that. Yeah.
Which, you know, that's directly to Shakespeare because he was from Stratford-on-Avon.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, some of the last names was Olivia Lennox.
Mm.
And Viola and Sebastian's last name in this is Hastings.
Oh, I didn't even catch that.
Yeah. A lot of the last names were very British last names, like locales or just names.
Okay.
And so they definitely were playing an homage to a lot of the source material and, like, the culture and stuff.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a lot of fun. They definitely changed a lot, but
mm-hmm.
one of the things that came across in this one is it definitely pulls from a lot of traditions that films were doing, like, even for the last 20 years prior.
Okay.
And so there were movies, I think there was a movie in the 80s called, I think, Just One of the Boys or something like that, where it was like a girl pretends to be a guy so she can be on a like a football team mm. or something. And it was a very 80s movie,
mm-hmm.
but it had a similar kind of plot, but it was definitely not Twelfth Night.
Yeah.
And then, like, that was not uncommon. There were a lot of movies where it was cross-dressing for mm-hmm. the comedic effect, you
yeah.
know? And so that was not new for sure. And I think a lot of that just stems back to Shakespeare and pre-Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm.
But then apparently a lot of the story and tropes come from the Disney Channel movie Motocrossed from 2001, which you probably didn't watch.
I've never heard of it.
I grew up on Disney Channel, so
I want to say it sounds familiar.
Old Disney Channel movies were really good.
Okay, that was about the time that era I was not watching the Disney Channel anymore.
Sure. She's the Man was a moderate success. It grossed $57.2 million worldwide against a production budget of $20 to $25 million. That's mm-hmm. funny that it's a range. The critical response was mixed. Bynes' performance received widespread praise. So there were some of the critics were not happy with some of it, but the film has developed a cult following.
Okay.
Yeah, obviously it's one of the films that fans of Channing Tatum go back to.
Hmm.
There's definitely a lot of suspension of disbelief in this, and it's yeah. clearly meant to just be comedic and fun.
Yeah.
Like, there's things that when you really start to nitpick, you're like, okay, some of this doesn't make any sense. But it's really just meant to be fun.
Yeah.
And I can respect that when it's done well.
Mm-hmm.
And this did, I think it did it well. So I can't stand it when enough thought wasn't put into it and it's just like, you just really didn't try, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
One thing I noticed, I told my sister this, I said that Amanda Bynes, mm-hmm. when she was supposed to be Viola,
yeah.
was very masculine.
Mm.
And then when she was supposed to be Sebastian, she was very feminine.
That's true. I didn't even catch that.
Like, and that was part of the joke.
Yeah.
And I was laughing because it was like, it wouldn't make any sense, except it was just funny, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because part of the story is her mom wants her to be a debutante.
Yeah.
And so she, in order to go through the plot that she's trying to do, she pretends to become a debutante.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the joke is she's so, like, uncoordinated and, like, masculine and so on that, like, she doesn't fit in with the debutantes.
Yeah.
But then when she's supposed to be a guy, she's actually, like, very feminine. Mm-hmm. And so, like, she's, like, gently touching her hair and, like, and so on. But I was like, what is going on?
Well, in a way, it was, that is what helped her find her feminine side.
Right, yeah.
In a weird way.
Yeah. Some of it was a little on the nose with the whole, like, a woman can just do anything a man can do kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it was funny. Like, it was, yeah. it was good. And like I said, it was definitely supposed to be like kind of like a teen comedy.
It was, yeah. And I understand the motive, the message behind it too. Because it's funny, the one thing when you said suspend disbelief, mm-hmm. I don't know if you've heard so she's a soccer player.
Yeah, yeah.
And the one thing that was pushed on there was like, oh, women are just as good as men in soccer.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard about? Did you ever hear about when the American women's team?
I did, yeah.
Played against like some high school boys team.
Yeah,
and the boys team like wiped the field them. Yeah. So I just kept on thinking of that whenever lines like that would pop up. I'm like, oh, this is where suspension of belief comes in.
Yeah.
But I understand having a daughter. I understand the message nonetheless.
Sure. Yeah.
And so
and even in the film, it does show that like it didn't come easy when she was against the boys. Yes. Like she really had to go out of her way to work harder.
She still had to train.
Yeah. Well, even more than regular. Like mm-hmm. she had to go wake up earlier and train harder and get extra help and stuff. So like there was that.
And I appreciated that. And I thought it was because it was made not necessarily to preach a message.
No, yeah.
It was entertaining. I will say I was scared in the beginning when it started any other high school flick. And romance or comedy or whatever it was. And
well, definitely the opening credits is very...
yes.
Yeah.
Once we got past that, and as we started to get into the story, then I was like, okay.
Yeah.
This is actually interesting. And I just loved finding the parallels.
Yes.
For me, that was fun.
And just the ridiculousness mm-hmm. of it. Yeah. There was a part I laughed at, if only because it doesn't translate on a podcast because you can't see it, but there's bits where like Amanda Bynes would like as a boy, like she forgets that she's supposed to be a boy and mm-hmm. she would like fix her hair or something. And it was just ridiculous the way that she would, she would move her hands or something. And then I would just find it so funny because I guess the juxtaposition, you know?
Yeah.
But then there's the scene where both her and Channing Tatum freak out because the tarantula in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And because if you listen to the dialogue, the dialogue's really funny because like they're both freaking out and jumping on the bed and they're like grabbing at each other and
stuff. Like
and then
that.
She's like, you get it. And then she's like, you're the boy. And she's like, I mean, I am too, but she's like,
mm-hmm. That was a funny scene. I did enjoy that.
So in the film, one of the things that they do, then I think this goes back to some of the other films I was talking about, like Motocrossed, where in the original play, she's not pretending to be her brother. She's just pretending to be a different person mm-hmm. who's a guy named Cesario.
Yeah.
But in this one, and then I guess in some earlier films like Motocrossed, which is supposed to be based off of 12th Night as well, she is pretending to be her brother.
Yeah.
Which is where some of the comedic value comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And that one also is based around a sport and other things. So there's that similarity. But it was funny because if it's a teen modern comedy, they're not going to do the whole shipwreck thing and stuff. So automatically that's going to be different.
Yeah, of course.
And in this one, it's the same in that Sebastian and Viola are twins and they look very similar and even have similar mannerisms and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I was actually really impressed in this one, you know, despite some, you know, minor plot holes that you just kind of forgive because it's just a ridiculous, wacky comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I was impressed, and I actually told my sister, I was like, this is actually a well-written script. Because they cover their bases really well so that it's believable enough. So they have it so Sebastian goes away to England because his band got a festival they got accepted into.
Yeah.
And so they hint from Viola that he was expelled from his last school for like tardiness and things like that.
Yeah.
And so he was expelled. And so he's starting as a transfer at Illyria Prep, mm-hmm. which I think is hilarious. It's Illyria Prep.
Yeah.
And so he knows he needs to be gone for 2 weeks. And so the motivation for her is her girls' soccer team was canceled because they didn't have enough players. Mm-hmm. And so she wants to kind of prove that she can play as good as a boy. Because her old school soccer team won't let the girls play on their team.
Yeah.
And that's how she breaks up with her boyfriend, who is like very misogynistic and a jerk and whatever. And which is so funny. It came out of like left field. But but so then she goes and pretends to, she had, like, it's like the stereotypical like montage where she gets the makeover and then she goes and pretends to be a boy. And she immediately meets Olivia. And they have their little interaction. Mm-hmm. But the writers did... I don't remember who wrote it. I need to look at it. Let me see real quick. It was... it was multiple people. The story was by Ewan Leslie. And it was a screenplay by him or her. I don't know. And two other people. Karen McCullough Lutz and Kirsten Smith.
Okay.
I think they wrote a good script because they covered their bases pretty well and they made it make some sense. So In this version, both of the parents are divorced.
Yes.
From each other. And they apparently just can't stand each other. Mm-hmm. And so they don't talk to each other. Mm-hmm. And that's believable enough that you would think if you're telling each of them that you're going to be with the other one for 2 weeks, mm-hmm. like I can believe that. Like if they really don't like each other at all,
yeah.
and they're not going to talk to each other, like I believe, especially then, mm-hmm. I would believe that that would work.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the fact that, like, nobody at the school knows Sebastian, mm-hmm. so they don't know what he looks like.
Yeah.
And then the only characters that would know him, like, she stays away from them, mm-hmm. which is part of the comedy, like Monique.
Yeah.
And then I told my sister, this is when I really understood how well it was written, because mm-hmm. it's so simple. When they get to the end, when Sebastian comes back a day early and she's not expecting him.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's kicked out of her room because she pissed off Channing Tatum's character and whatever. Sebastian goes and he goes to sleep in the room and everything, and then they all get angry because he's sleeping in and needs to be at the football. I mean, mm-hmm. football, it is football, but he needs to be at the soccer match, yeah. right? And so when Viola shows up to take back, which this is the one thing I did not get. I was like, why is he going along with this? Why is he dressing up? Why yeah. is he going on the field? He does say that he did do it so that he could try to find Olivia again, mm-hmm. who kissed him. And so they at least try to answer it with that. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, why would you get dressed and why would you go on the field and why would you try to play? Like, obviously it's comedy, you know, you get over it. But what was written well is they had all the characters in face paint, like war paint.
Yeah.
So then their identity's hidden even more. Mm-hmm. And so it's more believable that you just saw the one and now you're seeing the other and you know they look different even though they look similar. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, that's actually really good writing. Mm-hmm. I was like, it's so simple, but it's really well done.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. Like, they actually, for its faults, like, it did a really good job. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about some of the names and stuff that they use?
Yeah. Viola, her name from the play does show up.
Yes, yeah, Sario.
Cesario.
Yep.
It's the Italian
pizza place
yep. that everyone goes to.
I was impressed.
Yeah, and then what else was there? Malvolio.
Yep.
I forgot his name, but it was Timothy?
No, well, Malvolio is the spider.
Yeah, Malvolio is a spider, but it was his owner.
Malcolm.
But he was supposed to be like the uncle, right?
I think he was supposed to be like Sir Andrew. Because he's interested in Olivia.
That's what I got too.
I don't think it's supposed to be different. A direct correlation.
Yeah.
I think he's more of, was it an amalgam?
Yeah, that's how I felt. But I remember reading somewhere, and I didn't necessarily agree with their matchup of the characters. Because I also felt like he was a mixture of characters, basically. Because I was trying to also figure out...
he's basically his own character.
He was. But I also felt like her ex was also loosely someone else as well.
Justin?
Yeah. But I can't remember what I thought of at the time, to be honest. I just remember it saying how...
I don't think Justin was really meant to be anybody from the play.
Okay.
I think he was just introduced because it worked with the plot for this movie.
Mm.
Just like with Monique. Like, Monique was added as Sebastian's ex.
But she did have... Even though she did have characters of Mariah. Characters.
I mean, you could argue, but...
But then so did the girl with braces.
Eunice?
Yeah.
Eunice is so funny.
I know.
That actress does such a good job.
She did.
I've seen her in other things.
Okay. Yeah, so it's not quite a one-on-one matchup on the background characters.
I like the part when... Okay, so his name is Duke Orsino.
Yes,
instead
I got
of
that.
The Duke of Orsino, mm-hmm. It's Duke Orsino. I was like, I see you. I was like, well done. Well done.
Yes.
His friends... are Toby and Andrew.
That's what it was.
And it's really just they took the names because they're not the characters at all.
Because they didn't,
it's just an homage to the play. Like, but I did like that they used the names.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I like the part when they're supposed to be picking lab partners and he already told Sebastian, Viola, that he likes Olivia and that he wants to date her.
Yeah.
And like she just doesn't notice him or anything. And then they're picking names and he picks Eunice and then Eunice looks over at him. She's like... Like all creepy, but like she's creepy, but like you never like are really creeped out that much by her. But yeah. I think it depends on the person. But then Sebastian, as Viola, Sebastian is like Olivia, and she like looks over and smiles.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, no, you gotta trade with me. She's like, I can't trade with you. I said it out loud. She hurt me.
No, it was real well written.
So a random trivia tidbit.
Mm-hmm.
I think part of the joke is the amount of time she's trying to use the shower, but she can't because she keeps getting like she keeps running into other guys.
Yeah.
And there's the one scene where Malcolm like starts telling her off because she's not wearing her shower shoes. Because he's like such a rule follower.
I remember that.
And then Channing Tatum's character, Duke, comes in and he like smacks him with a towel.
Mm-hmm.
I read that he actually accidentally smacked him in the eye and that the reaction was real.
Oh.
But it was when we watched it, my sister's like, wow, that was a really good hit.
That's funny.
I do like that her two friends, who just are like randomly there, are the ones that pretend to hit on her so that Sebastian's social status is raised.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't the guy who helped her with the makeover,
it's
if
like
you will.
Paul or something.
But he also, then his name or his last name was tied to someone.
I don't know. It's supposed to be, is it like Antonio?
Yes, I want to say that was something like that.
Was it Paul Antonio?
Something like that.
Sure.
I'll have to look it up now.
Sure. Yeah, and so Amanda Bynes and Channing Tatum apparently didn't play soccer before they did this.
Oh, really?
And so they had to practice and learn a lot. But there are a couple scenes where they have doubles, obviously.
Yeah.
But they did most of it themselves, but I clearly could tell when it was not her. And it's in the most obvious is the scene where she's playing with her hair down, because every time it would cut to like a far view from her, like her hair would be like in her face.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, yeah, that's not her, because every time it would show like and you knew it was her, like her hair was clearly out of her face. I'm like, yeah, that's Amanda Bynes.
I really didn't pay attention to those scenes, to be honest.
Well, I kind of grew up with this movie. Like I watched it when I was in high school, so.
Oh, okay.
So, like, this, I was watching it kind of with new eyes, but, like, I knew what was going to come. Like, I was aware of what was happening.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think one of my, one of the lines that made me laugh is one of Duke's friends.
Mm-hmm.
They're all, the two of them are talking, and they see Sebastian with Eunice at the double date when Olivia's trying to date Duke to make Sebastian jealous.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Sebastian takes Eunice on the double date, and... The friends see them together, and then the one says, wow, Sebastian's with Eunice? Wow, she must be hotter than I thought. And then the other friend's like, okay, when I said I wanted to date her, you said that was weird. But now Sebastian dates her, and that's cool? He's like, what? He's like, I hate high school.
That was towards the end, yeah. So I was looking up. I didn't realize that Malcolm's last name was Festus.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was purely just an homage.
So, yeah.
He's definitely not. Yeah.
He did not play that role. No. Did not come across.
No. It's funny because in this one, they definitely lean into the comedy of having to be two people at once, mm-hmm. which is not in the play. Like, she's clearly just meant to be pretending to be a guy the whole time.
Yeah.
But in this one, because she's pretending to be her brother, like literally her mm-hmm. brother, and he's not thought to be dead,
mm-hmm.
they can lean into that more.
Yeah.
And so they definitely have a lot of almost unnecessary scenes where she just has to change very quickly. I was laughing with my sister because they're at the carnival scene mm-hmm. and she has to change like 7 times.
Yeah.
And it's like, where can I change now? And we laughed because she just changed. And then she runs across and then goes to change in the bouncy house.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister's like, why is she changing? She just changed. She didn't do anything.
That thought did cross my mind, too. I thought that some of the changes were a little excessive. Mm-hmm. Unnecessary, I mean.
Well, it's just for the fun of it.
It is. It was, yeah.
Yeah, you could tell when the jokes are just for the fun.
Yes.
Yeah. But no, it was a lot of fun, and I was actually surprised how much I enjoyed it after all these years.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what scene stuck with me throughout the years?
Like
the one scene that stuck with me throughout the years is the tampon up the nose scene.
I kind of predicted that was eventually going to happen.
Yes, it's a callback.
Yes,
I just love how she freaks out when she sees them. Yeah, you know the original intent for tampons, right?
I do not know the history of tampons now.
It's not like I researched it, but it did come up so at one point. And I might get some of it wrong,
okay.
But the gist of it is, I think it was the First World War.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the First World War. They were originally created for bullet wounds.
Really?
Yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah, because it was like to prevent bleeding and to like, yeah, like plug it up.
Yeah.
And then I don't know how it transitioned, but someone was like, well, you know what good this would be for? Something else that bleeds.
Interesting.
Yep.
Like I said, I learned something with every podcast.
Yep. There you go. And so when he was sticking up his nose, I'm like, you know, it's not far from the original intent.
That is funny.
Or its current purpose. But yeah, you know, it was a good movie. It's lighthearted. It's fun. Yeah, it's not meant to be taken very seriously.
No, no.
By any means. You know, I love the fake out at the end, though. When she's at the she's going to the ball for the
debutantes. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then she like looks out in the distance and she sees a silhouette and she thinks it's Duke. And she's like, I hoped you would come. And she starts talking to him. And then it's the gardener.
That was funny. I kind of wondered. I was wondering how it was going to end. I mean, it was predictable, but at the same time, still humorous without being overly dumb.
Right.
I think that was kind of my fear, was that it was going to be another dumb high school movie.
I think, in a respect, it's similar to the Hallmark effect. Some people, mm-hmm. not everybody, but there are people who really like knowing what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And they like expectations being met.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you can mess with the formula and you can add to it, make it funny or whatever, but you give the audience what they want.
Yes.
And I think this was that.
Okay.
Like, it definitely was hilarious and it took you on a ride.
Mm-hmm.
It checked off all the boxes for people.
Okay.
It was like, the couple are going to end up together.
Yeah.
And like, literally everybody who could end up together ended up together. Like, Eunice ended up with the black guy who liked her, and the mom and the dad are hinted that they're going to get back together.
Yeah.
And Sebastian and Olivia get together. And, you know, like, mm-hmm. like, it even hints that like Paul like is interested in like the one other friend who like is not against it at the end. Like,
yeah.
It was so quick and like almost could have just been comedic, but mm-hmm. like everybody who could have gotten together, like, got together.
Yes. Yeah. No, it had the traditional ending
for sure,
which matches the play.
Well, and in this version, you really didn't need a AFS day because it was so wacky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it was just, who would have done that? Like, who would have been that character, you know?
It would have been overdone probably at that point.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, as far as adaptations go, it's definitely a very loosely inspired by, but...
Yes, but at the same time, I think it was well done enough. I think it's one of the more... loose adaptations
that stays true enough.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. there's definitely some that are like, Oh, it's based off of that? If you say so.
I know. You mean the inspired by true events.
Exactly, yes.
And it has nothing. The names are the same, but that's pretty much it.
Yes. But, yeah, this one was also, it was kind of riding on the back of other adaptations, like Clueless was based off of Jane Austen's Emma, mm-hmm. and was it the 10 Things I Hate About You is based off of Shakespeare's, darn it, which one is it? It's one of Shakespeare's plays. But there was a small pattern of mm-hmm. like teen romantic comedies that were inspired by Shakespeare.
Okay.
And so this one was definitely in that pattern. Like it followed in that.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah, as we've talked about the movies or as they've come up in research, it's funny how that happens. It's kind of, I guess, the zeitgeist of the time or something.
Yeah, but it also speaks to how good of a plot Shakespeare wrote. Mm-hmm. That you can do that.
You can take it and adapt it.
Right. Exactly. All right. Anything else you want to talk about the film She's the Man before we wrap this one up?
Not really. Not that I can think of.
Who was your favorite character in She's the Man?
The spider.
Stop.
That's a good question.
Going your mind?
Yeah, go. You go first.
I was surprised this time around. I actually really liked Channing Tatum as Duke Orsino.
Okay.
Because he was very well-rounded.
Mm-hmm.
And some people didn't like this because they thought that he and Amanda Bynes were very lopsided. But I think he kind of helped ground the film.
Hmm. Okay.
Because a lot of the characters were very broad and very wacky. Whereas he felt relatively realistic and mm-hmm. grounded. And so I think he helped tether it to reality before it became just a parody of something.
I could see that.
But I liked it because, I mean, it was a little bit of a cliche, the whole, like, the jock guy has feelings mm-hmm. kind of thing. But I thought, like, I saw enough of a spectrum in his acting. Like, there's, like, he had the really serious brooding, and then he had the romantic, and then he had the goofy, I'm flirting,
mm-hmm.
and so on. Like, and I just saw a range, and I really liked it.
I agree. I felt he was realistic.
Right, yeah.
As a guy. And I know even as men sometimes, or as humans, we can get into cliches. Mm-hmm. People become cliched.
Yeah.
And it's only when you get to know them, or when they allow themselves to be themselves, you get to see that. And right. I thought it was well done in him. So it's funny, I was leaning in his direction, but I wasn't sure yet. And hearing you outline it, sure. I have to agree with you.
Well, and it's funny because with his character, it could have very easily have gone, like, the preachy route
mm-hmm.
in a couple ways. But I thought it was actually done pretty well in regards to his character. I really liked the line where he said, because Viola Sebastian's always, like, over-exaggerating, yeah. like, male sexuality and things like that. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because in the movie, the guys actually are not shown to be, like, very sexual.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's times where they're like, well, she's hot, or, like, look at her, or mm-hmm. whatever. But, like, Viola plays it up because she's, like, she expects that she needs to.
Yeah.
And then I thought it was really interesting because there's that part where she says something, and then while they're in the dorm room together, and then Duke says, he's, like, angry. He's like, why do you have to talk about women in such graphic terms?
Yeah.
But I was like, I like that, though.
Yeah.
Because, like, it does show that not all guys are like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, and it's okay to be angry that people are like that. Mm-hmm. But, like, in a way that's not, like, pedantic, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree.
And so I really appreciated that, especially how he handled it. And then they talk a little bit. It felt like it kind of pulled from Twelfth Night a bit, but in its own way.
Because
mm-hmm. they talked about, in the end, when he goes to find her at the ball,
mm-hmm.
and they're talking to each other, and he says, I got to know you better because you were pretending to be a man.
Mm.
It's like, I was more comfortable and I was able to just get to know you. You were able to get to know me. And he's like, and that's something, and like the way he phrased it obviously was better, but I thought I was really interested in it because it kind of was a throwback to the original play in a way where it's like, there was a barrier that's kind of between men and women.
Yeah.
At times, whether or not it's self-imposed or societally imposed or whatever, but a lot of times when it's just the same gender that is not there.
Yeah.
And so you can open up a bit more in some regard.
Mm-hmm.
And so they did address that. And I thought that was very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked it because it was on the theme for the play.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it owes to the writing is what it comes down to. Even though there were cliches and stereotypes used for either humor or for purpose of the story, it didn't come across as overdone. Mm-hmm. And or too cliche or too... Sure. Yeah.
It definitely felt like it was in vain with Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm.
Because it even goes back, it has that feel of stock characters.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, the whole like cliche characters kind of comes from. Like the idea of a stock character is like, it's what you expect.
Yeah.
You know, you expect mm-hmm. the lovers, you expect the curmudgeon, the money-grabbing curmudgeon, you expect blah, blah, blah. Like all yeah. these things, like there's things you expect, and Shakespeare plays on that, and this definitely is in the same vein.
And the other thing I
just well, not the highfalutin language, you know?
Yeah. The one thing I will say is I'm probably one of the few, maybe it's my generation. Like I said, I was not familiar with Amanda Bynes' comedy. And so
she definitely has some wacky comedy.
She does. And I have to admit it was more enjoyable than I thought it would be.
She has an endearing quality to her, mm-hmm. and that's why it's so upsetting that she just like went off the rails.
That's all. See, and that's all I knew of her. Yeah. I knew her tragic story. No, but like nothing
like when
that.
My generation,
yeah.
When she went off the rails, we were like, no.
Okay.
There's like one more person. Why? But I mean, to be fair, she's very similar in a lot of her movies.
Mm-hmm.
But there is she was able to be quirky and yet feminine and endearing and absurd at the same time.
Hmm, interesting.
Yeah. One of my favorite parts though of this movie is when she's at the debutante like rehearsals mm-hmm. and she's eating and she's just like devouring the chicken. She's just masticating and she's like angrily looking at Olivia. It's just like staring her down and she's like rah, and she's like, and then like the head woman of the debutante is like, dear, eat like you have a secret. And then she just like look, she's like, her eyeballs just go side to side. She's just like, that's one of my favorite parts. Just she does a very good job of with physical humor, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to give our little arbitrary ratings.
We really have no criteria for this.
No. So technically, we could rate the Globe version.
Yeah.
But it gets weird because I feel like that's the closest to the original.
Yeah.
And then we'll talk about we'll rate the 96 one and then the She's the Man.
Okay.
Okay. I kind of looked at the Globe version as like almost like the source material.
Yeah,
I did even too. Though like it's not.
Yeah. That's probably why I watched it first, even though now
that's why I watched it first.
Yeah.
Well.
In retrospect, I should have watched the movie. So we'll start with the movie.
96.
The 96 version. I would probably give it a... It's hard. 7.5.
Ooh, that's a high one for you.
I know.
Ooh.
Because it's not necessarily something I would go and watch immediately again.
But you want to watch
it
again.
But I want to watch it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think I give it a 7.
Okay.
Like, again, it's not a movie I can watch all the time, but it is a movie that I find myself wanting to watch again.
Yeah.
And it does a great job of making the characters very intriguing and endearing and tragic almost.
Yeah.
And romantic and
mm-hmm.
not as funny, but yeah, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then the world in it is just a gorgeous world. But
so, how about the movie? Yeah, She's the Man.
Oh man, I think I'll give it an 8.
Okay,
because of the nature of it, I think it's very rewatchable.
Mm-hmm.
Just not all the time, because then you get tired of it.
Yeah,
like it's very funny. It makes me feel good watching it. It's well written enough that mm-hmm. like I think it has its merits. And. And I was surprised how much I enjoyed it, actually, mm-hmm. because like I said, it was a movie I associated with younger me, and so I thought I wouldn't have enjoyed it as much.
Okay.
I actually purely only chose it because I thought our listeners would like it. And because it's an interesting adaptation, so
yes it is.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, I already had my score in my head.
Yeah.
And I agree with you.
You gave it a 10.
I gave it an 8. Not a 10, but an 8.
There you go.
Yes.
I like agree.
Because I was thinking about it, and I'm like, that is the type of movie I would put on in the background, watch again.
Yeah, and it's rare to find a teen comedy that is not just like gross or inappropriate. Or, yeah. Like there are very few that I could name that I think are like relatively wholesome and, and just fun.
Yeah.
And that was one of them. So.
Cool. So we agree on the score for that one.
Yes, exactly.
All right.
So now, if you had to give a score for the glow up version.
That would, so that's hard.
I know, it makes it very difficult. I want to give it a 9.
You beat me to it. Because I was going to say it's definitely higher than all than both of the others. Mm-hmm. So if I gave one a 7.5, one a 9, it would either have to be a 9.5 or 8.5 or a 9.
There you go.
And so I'll just round up to 9.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So now is the part of our episode where if you've listened to us before, you know what's coming up.
Yep. Types of adaptations.
Yep. I like doing this to you. What type of adaptation was this? If you have not listened to our episodes, please go back and listen to our trailer episode where we talk a little bit more in depth on the types of adaptations that I've come up with. And they're a little rigid, so we have some fun trying to figure that out. But we have true to source material. We have met. We have true to source material. Mm-hmm. We have expanded. Mm-hmm. We have artistic, and then we have message driven.
Yes.
So, very quickly, just for the fun of it, to make it easy on us, the globe version.
True to source material. Oh,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, ridiculously, that was the whole goal.
Yes.
True to source material. As much as they could be, I will say. Like, obviously, there's some choices that they made, but we'll, I think it was as true as you could be.
Yes, I agree.
What about the 96 version with Bellatrix Lestrange?
I mean, it has, based on the way you reference artistic, I would have to say it's more of like an expanded, just because of, I mean, it has a little bit more of the story and stuff like that.
Right. This one's a little nebulous.
It is.
Yeah. Would you like my opinion before you give yours?
Go ahead.
Because it usually helps you to form yours.
It does.
I think of it as a somewhat... This is one of those times where I think I'm going to make a combination.
Okay.
A somewhat artistic message-driven.
Okay.
Because they definitely made some artistic choices and changes, like with adding the war and setting it in the time period it's in and so on. And, you know, just the style and whatever of it. But I think because the focus in this one was the more dramatic.
Yeah.
That's why I'm leaning towards message driven.
Okay.
Because it was not a wacky comedy. It didn't really dive into a lot of like of those themes and they were in like the globe version. And it was definitely more focused on the romance and the drama and stuff. Like in that version, I felt really bad for Antonio because of the whole, I did this for you, but now they're taking me away. Like, could you give me back my purse so I can have some money for this? And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Because he's talking to Viola Cesario. I felt so bad for him a couple times in this movie. Because I'm like, he totally thinks his friend has betrayed him.
Yeah.
Like, and doesn't care about him anymore. I was like, that is just heartbreaking.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in the stage version, it's slightly sad, but it's... Because the whole feel of it is just so funny, like, it demeans it a little bit.
It doesn't have the same gravitas.
No,
yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then that doesn't really happen at all in the She's the Man, so. Yeah, there's definitely moments like that in the 96 version that really give, like you said, a lot of gravitas that is not there in the original.
Yeah.
Or it's, like, very barely there. And so, I think it depends on my mood.
Yeah. I agree with you.
Okay. Somewhat artistic message driven.
Yes.
Got it. And I can see where you're saying expanded, because I think it...
The beginning. That's really the only part that's expanded.
Yeah. And I think...
And the ending.
Yeah. And I think that's one of those things where it's really just the medium, and it's a director who knows how to work within the medium.
Okay.
Because there's a lot that happens in the play that's unseen, and they just tell you.
Yeah.
And in the film, and like we've seen with other things, they just show you.
Yes.
And so there's the opening with the shipwreck, and it introduces the themes and the two twins that look similar.
Mm-hmm.
But even like the raising the the stakes and the drama and showing Antonio being chased by the soldiers and stuff. Like, that's not in the script in the original play, but like it works and it was added in. So like, I can see like some of that is world building and expanded, but like it's not enough that like they just they added a bunch.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So I think this was definitely one of those where it's a bit of a few of them, but if I had to pick, I would pick Message Driven. Just because of the tonal changes. And
yeah, no, as you explain it, it makes more sense that way.
Yeah. And it seemed less focused on like the gender politics and stuff. Like, it's definitely there, but it was not a priority.
Yes.
Whereas you see more of it in the original play. But again, I think a lot of that also boils down to you have a lot more suspension of disbelief on stage because of the nature of theater. Whereas in film, it's more realistic, and there are some things that you can't get away with as easily.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of that played into it. All right, now what about She's the Man?
Artistic.
This one's not an easy one. This one's very different.
I mean, because the mess... I mean, basing it on how you rephrased different previously, it could be message-driven as well.
I want to say it's message-driven as well, but I also want to say expanded.
Really?
Well, because they add all the stuff in with the soccer and and everything. Because it's the same plot, but they added so much to it.
If we use expanded in that frame, because when I think of expanded, I think of like adding more information, like the Grinch movie versus the book. That's kind of what I'm thinking. So I didn't quite.
The Grinch is actually a very good example.
Yeah.
For the Jim Carrey version, for sure.
As you frame it that way, it could be expanded.
Well, I think we've gotten to the point with this podcast that we just have to be flexible.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, I think it's a somewhat expanded message-driven film.
Okay.
And I think you could say it is also a little artistic because it's focused on the comedy, like in their version of it. But I think because in She's the Man, a lot of the focus is on Amanda Bynes' character wanting to prove she can play as well as a man.
Yeah.
I think that's why I would say it's message driven.
Okay. Cool.
Because that's not a message in the original script.
True. True. Yeah.
So I that's why I would say that. But it's good.
I agree.
Great. All right. Any closing thoughts?
No, I think.
No. Would you recommend any of these to other people?
I would recommend watching the movie adaptation first.
From 96.
Yeah. I definitely, because I think in watching it, viewers would be able to get a good sense of the story.
Yeah, it definitely has a 90s feel to it.
It does.
Which I don't mind, but.
And I think it outlines, because for, I know for my wife, she had to read the synopsis in the DVD in order to get a grasp of what, like to fully see the whole picture. Yeah. And so I know that helped her. And once she had that, everything fell into line.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think the movie would do that for viewers. And then I definitely would recommend She's All That.
She's the Man.
She's the Man. Sorry, wrong movie again. She's the Man. It's entertaining. It's not your... And there's many stereotypical teen romance movie stuff, but it doesn't come across that way.
If you're not bothered by, like, just funny comedy, like, just wacky comedies, like,
but it has good writing.
Yes,
that's exactly what makes it. Yeah, because a lot of comedies,
that's what elevates it for sure. Yes. Yeah,
and when it comes to the play, the Globe version, I would recommend it.
Yes,
but
from 2013.
Yes, but I would recommend watching the adaptations first.
Because you don't want to ruin the adaptations.
Not just that, but I think they would get more enjoyment from the play by watching it last.
Sure.
I'm coming at it not necessarily as we would come at it, but as a lot of people who are unfamiliar with this, having the gateway drug, if you will,
sure,
before tackling Shakespeare directly. Unless you're familiar with Shakespeare, then go straight for the play.
Yeah, you know what's funny in regards to She's the Man? It's a great movie to come home to, like after a long day at work and you're tired and you're eating dinner. It's just a great movie to put on just to enjoy.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, you're not going to put it on to analyze it. You're just going to enjoy it, and it's still a relatively well-written movie. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. That's what I would say.
No, I agree.
Great. Well, I'm glad that you actually watched it, because we almost did not watch and talk about She's the Man, but I'm glad we did.
It was a last minute add-on.
Exactly. Well, we have a range of different episodes we have coming up. We will be taking a break come summertime, so in probably another month or so, we'll be taking our summer hiatus, I guess you want to say, and that gives us a chance to catch up on some recordings and readings and things like that, and some planning for our podcast. We have some things in the works coming up, and we're going to get some social going, so on. So look out for that, and I want to thank all of our dedicated listeners who listen every week that we have episodes.
And you've been with us through the audio challenges, through the beginning to where we are now.
Exactly.
We're grateful to those who support us, especially by giving us a place to record.
Yep.
As always, our thanks goes out to you.
These late night recordings.
Yes. After a long day of work. We hope you continue to join us on this journey. I don't know how many of you, this is the first time you're listening or coming across this stuff. If you've heard us enough, you know many times Eric is introducing me to a world of literature that, and even movies, really, that otherwise I would never have, heck, She's the Man. I would never have sat and watched that. And I learned that even those type of movies can have good ones.
And you know what's funny is, even if we weren't doing this podcast... Uh-huh. I bet you would not have watched it if I had told you to watch it.
Probably not.
But because it's for the podcast and because it's an interesting adaptation, that's why you watched it.
And that's what I hope you as our listeners are experiencing as well. And joining us on this journey of allowing yourself to be opened up to new areas in which maybe you just haven't had the time or you've never really given a thought about. And journeying with us for the good and the bad. I don't think we've had a lot of bad, though.
I hope not.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've made it this far, then you're already a great listener. So yes. There you go. Because you've reached the end of this one.
True. All right.
All right. Yeah. Please share us out there with other people. I hope we can get more word out about us. We just do this for fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you've been around, you've heard that before. But we do this for fun. We like to do it. Honestly, this is a way for me to just hang out with you because you're so busy.
I know.
I mean, I get busy, but... You definitely get busy, and our schedules don't match up very well. So this is definitely a way for me to interact and chat with you and catch up with you. So
hopefully that will be changing soon.
Ooh, foreshadow.
Yes, things down the road.
Got it. Well, I hope you all take care out there and stick around next time for the next episode.
Yes, we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to our podcast, Willing to Adapt.
Please follow or subscribe. Maybe leave a review. Or just share us with friends and family.
We would also like it if you would follow us on social media.
If you have ideas for future episodes for us, please email us at ericandromy@willingtoadapt.com.
That's Romy with an I.
And remember, when the only thing constant in life is change, be willing to adapt.